This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Hi, this is Christina Battista from MasterChef. You're listening to the Friday Morning Show with Leo on Joy 94.9.
This is the Friday Morning Show with Leo on Australia's only gay lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9. MasterChef is one of Australia's leading television franchises, this year celebrating its fifth season. Now, this year we had not one but two contestants from the LGBTI family, Andrew Pryor and my next guest. Her love of 50s fashion and her passion for food earned her heaps of fans on the show. Welcome to Joy, Christina Bastia.
Hi, thank you for having me.
No worries at all. Now, we're in Sydney and Balmain in a cafe. So yes. It's all quite nice today in Sydney. Obviously, MasterChef was in its fifth season this year. You've obviously watched the past seasons a few years ago. What made you apply for this season of the show?
Well, my sister and my partner, Kate, filled out the application form for me. I had filled out a form last year and never got a call back. And then when they saw my application form, they were like, yeah, well, we wouldn't have called you back either, because I didn't want to sound like a tosser. Basically, you know, I'm not very good at kind of selling myself. So, they filled out the application form for me and sent it through, and I didn't think I'd hear anything back. And then they called me back for an audition, and then, yeah, somehow made it onto the show, which was just absolutely crazy. I thought I'd be the first one eliminated, to be honest with you.
So what's the process like in the audition stage? Because we don't really see much of that on the show. They sort of get the top 50 or whatever, and then they sort of whittle them down. But the first audition process, what's that like?
It's really nerve-wracking. We had to present a cold dish to the people who we were trying out for. And that was, I did like a play on a beetroot and orange salad, but I turned it into a tart instead. And they really enjoyed it. And then there's a lot of psych evaluations. And
really? What is that? What? Why?
Yeah, lots of forms being filled out. I'm not quite sure if everyone else had to fill that many forms out, or if I was just, you know, borderline crazy. And so they were like, oh, we're not sure yet. And then there's a lot of cooking that you've got to do for the judges before you actually get on the show as well, and all of that process they actually film, and there's a lot of interviewing with the producers and that sort of thing as well. So it's a long process.
Now, you're a stay-at-home mum. You've got two kids, Annabelle and Damien, who has autism.
Yes.
Now, your partner Kate must have been a great support, because you're away for so many months doing the show.
Yep.
How did you cope being away from your kids and Kate so long?
You probably noticed on the show I cried a lot. That's how I coped, which was really weird, because I'm not a crier. I swear I'm really not. I was gone for a total of 6 months, so that was tough. But my mum and my partner Kate, they, you know, looked after the kids and did such a fantastic job. But I got to talk to them, and once a month I got to come home for about 4 or 5 hours to visit the kids and kind of be like, hi, remember me, I'm your mother, and then leave again. But it was definitely tough.
Now, you love experimenting with food.
Yes.
And I was reading on your website the other night that you like to make mistakes because you learn from the mistakes.
Now, yeah, definitely.
When I make a mistake, I don't cook again. But, I mean, you also love the 50s style and the fashion.
Yes.
How has that impacted your cooking and your food?
The reason why I love the 1950s is just how beautiful everything is. Was, you know, it's women were really feminine, and they, you know, had curves, and they were celebrated for celebrated for being beautiful and stunning, and, you know, everyone looked immaculate. And so I always tried to have my food look beautiful as well, so that's how it's definitely affected it. And also, you know, I love a dinner party, and I love having friends over, and that was born in the 50s, that whole entertaining people and having everyone over and all of that sort of stuff. So that's definitely affected the way that I entertain people.
Let's talk about the judges, because you on the show, you had to a chance to cook with the judges and also the guest chefs as well.
Yes.
Who did you get along with the best, and what did you learn from them?
I loved all three judges, to be honest with you. And they're all so different, and they bring different things to your food and to the judging. My favourite was probably George, little Georgie. Not quite sure why. I think because I was just always in awe of his food and the way that he looked at food and changed, you know, like he would make a Greek salad, but it did not look like, you know, your typical Greek salad and that sort of thing. So I really kind of look up to him as one of my food idols. As far as guest chefs, I loved working with Matt Stone, and I got to work with him twice. So that was really cool. And he's just one of those like really super cool chefs. You know, he doesn't wear a chef whites. He wears, you know, a t-shirt instead, and has got the tats going. And obviously I loved getting to cook against Heston, which was pretty amazing.
He seems to be quite freaky, doesn't he? Like,
yeah.
He's out on a different planet sometimes.
Yeah, he is. And it was interesting watching him cook because, you know, Daniel Churchill, myself and Rishi got to cook against him. And it was almost like watching a child cooking. Like he'd be cooking and go, oh, I'm going to go grab something else, and would run back to the pantry and then come back, and would often get lost in what he was doing. But it was just amazing watching him work. And he's actually very generous with his time and with his knowledge, you know, and an extremely humble chef, which is unique.
The top 22 had a mix of personalities, all had your different sort of food inspirations and flavours. Now, be honest, who did you get along with and who really pissed you off?
Okay, who did I get? Let's get the good stuff out of the way first. So I really got along with Andrew. We created Team Rainbow on the show. Yeah. So it was super daggy.
And those of us who don't know, Andrew used to work at Joy.
Yes, he did. Yeah.
And I had no idea that he was going to be on the show.
Yeah.
And then I was watching the show. I was like, oh my God, what's he doing on there?
Yeah.
And it was all quite secretive. But yeah, that was cool.
Yeah.
You two are sort of a bit of a rainbow team going on.
Yeah, and he was great. And I still get along with him now. And we, you know, chat on the phone. And Rishi was my house husband on the show. Unlike when Tully called Drew her house husband, there was no hanky panky going on with Rishi.
Yes. And I. Nothing.
Nothing. But he was really sweet. And I also really got along with Fiza, that she was like having a little baby sister. She was, you know, just bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and was like looking at the world for the first time. So it was really cool to kind of hang out with her as well. So as for people I didn't like, there really wasn't anyone who I clashed with. I tended to, if someone was getting on my nerves, I usually just left the room pretty much. But everyone
started crying.
Yeah, I started crying.
From, I guess, a gay point of view, obviously Daniel was hot.
But for me, I was like, oh my God, keep your shirt on, Daniel.
No, keep it off. But I mean, you must have made some great friends on the show as well.
Yeah, like, and I actually get along with, you know, pretty much everyone I still keep in contact with, and they're really great guys. Like, and it's great to kind of hang out with everyone who loves food as much as what you do, you know, because a lot of my friends, they like food, but they're not as obsessed with it as what I am. So it was nice to be around other obsessed people.
When we see the show on TV, we see the final edit, like it goes to air and we see it's all tightly edited and everything. But behind the scenes, it's a very different story. There's long hours.
Yes.
So just run through a typical day on MasterChef. What happens, I guess, behind the scenes?
Yeah. So we would be woken up anywhere between 4:30 and 5:30, depending on what time of the day we had to start filming. And we would head over, and then you get mic'd up and you get your apron and all that sort of stuff. And then there is quite a bit of hanging around just waiting to see what we're going to be doing. And then you start filming. There's a lot of takes of us walking into the kitchen. So, you know, you walk in and you get to your spot, and then they go, okay, let's do that again. And then, okay, let's do that again and again.
Like a runway.
Yeah, pretty much. And then when we cook, when they say you've got 30 minutes, you have 30 minutes. There's no extending of that, or there's no retakes or anything. If your dish isn't up at the end of those 30 minutes, then too bad, too sad. You know, you don't get to touch up that food or anything like that. And then quite often there was a break, you'd stop for lunch, and then they will, that's when they taste all the food after lunch.
And yeah. It's often cold, isn't it?
It is. It's stone cold when they taste your food. So quite often you would do two dishes. So if it was something that you really wanted the judges to taste hot, you would plate up a dish, not as beautifully presented as your official dish. And when time was up, they would come past and have a quick taste of your food. So tasting sauces and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, the food's stone cold.
So no nuking in the microwave.
No. That's what I thought. I was
just up in the microwave, be fine.
Yeah, but no, it's and I guess the judges have been doing the show for so long that they know what happens to food and how it's going to react and all that sort of stuff and what's going to happen to a sauce once it gets cold. And then you end up getting home at about 8-9 o'clock at night, sometimes even later, and then you're so wired from filming, and then on your days off you do all those lovely interviews that they cut to while watching the show. Because a lot of people have actually asked me if they film that while we're cooking. I'm like, no.
Afterwards.
No, it's afterwards. Hi, this is Christina Batista from MasterChef, and I'm proud to be heard on Australia's only LGBTI radio station, Joy 94.9.
You're on the Friday Morning Show with Leo on Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9. My special guest is one of this year's MasterChef contestants, Christina Batista. Now, Christina, you made it into the top five.
I did.
Which was a great achievement. You had plenty of stressful challenges along the way. But one that I remember quite fondly was that bloody lolly bag challenge.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, that was a 7-layer lolly flavoured cake.
Yes.
And you won that challenge.
I did.
What on earth? How did you get through that for starters?
I have no idea how I got through that, because when I saw the cake, they didn't actually include it in the show, but I actually started to walk off. I was like, how am I meant to recreate that cake? So I don't know how I did it. I had a photo of my kids with me. I always had one of them in my pocket, and I ended up just having that on my bench and looking at them and just imagining that I was cooking the cake for them. And I think once I cried and I got that out of my system, I was able to then focus, and I just ended up getting into a rhythm. And I had people like Liliana and Nolene and Samira who were upstairs, who were cheering me on, who were, you know, following the recipe with me. And that was a massive help to get through that lolly bag cake, was having those people kind of cheering me on. And I think, you know, I must have been like a concreter in a past life, because I managed to get all those layers very leveled.
Smooth them out.
Yeah.
And of course, I mean, being lollies, I mean, obviously you make cakes for your kids as well.
Yes.
So it's quite sort of thinking, oh, well, if I make this really good, this would be for the kids. And you're sort of cooking with love and with passion, and it makes it a bit easier.
Yeah, it definitely made it a little bit easier. I was picturing that I was making the cake for my daughter Annabelle. She has a massive sweet tooth, and so, you know, I was just pretending that I was cooking for her, and then I was also eating some of the lollies while I was cooking, which was really helpful.
Yeah, you have to do that.
You know,
taste testing, of course.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, it was really funny, the banana layer that I had to do, those are my sister's favorite lollies, you know, so while I was doing that layer, I was picturing my sister, and you know, it's all really daggy, but that's what I did, and that's what got me through it.
Another highlight for you was when you went to Dubai.
Yes.
Business class, I must say. Going business class, how did the other half live? What did you, was it a first for you?
It was. Well, I got to also fly to WA business class.
Oh, here we go.
Which was really cool. But going to Dubai, and you know, your chair actually lies completely flat. So
because you were with Daniel, weren't you?
I was with Daniel.
You were sleeping with, next to Daniel.
I was sleeping next to Daniel, and I fell asleep. I was so dead to the world that I actually started to spoon Daniel while I was sleeping.
Oh, hello.
Sorry, boys.
Hands off.
But he, yeah, when I woke up, he was like, did you realise that you threw your arm over me and was spooning me? I was like, oh, sorry, Daniel.
Well, he didn't do anything about it, did he?
He was happy with that. But it was great. You know, the service was fantastic. And I do not know how I'm going to fly economy again. I don't want to. I want to just have the kids in economy with Kate and I'll fly business from now on.
That'd be nice. Going to Dubai, what did you learn about, I guess, their food culture and how did you incorporate that into your style?
Yeah. With Dubai, it's a real melting pot of food. So although it is very, you know, Middle Eastern and Middle Eastern inspired, because you have so many people from around the world who are eating there, you get food from all different cultures. So it's quite similar to Australia, where the food that you can get in Australia, you know, you can get great sushi, but you can also get great Indian and all that sort of stuff. And it's a lot, it's very much like that in Dubai as well. So, and they're just so generous and everything is, you know, family orientated and making people happy. And so it was, you know, big dishes and platters and that sort of thing. And I like to cook that way. I like to make everyone happy and I like to feed people and fatten everyone up. So it was great. Yeah.
Let's talk eggs. Because on the show, you undercooked and overcooked some baked eggs.
Yes.
Now, I've never attempted to do baked eggs. When I do an omelette, but it always turns out to be like scrambled eggs. So, what's your secret? Now, on your website, there's a great recipe for poached eggs.
Yes.
Which is quite interesting. Tell us about that.
So with poached eggs, I think a lot of people think that it's really hard to do, where it actually isn't. Once you know all the tips and tricks for poached eggs, it's actually quite easy. So stuff like having some white vinegar in the water is actually going to help solidify the egg whites and so keep it all together. So you're not just going to end up with scrambled eggs in water, which can often happen. And I also, while being on the show, learned how to, you know, you partially cook your eggs, because quite often, you know, you have people over, you want to do poached eggs because you want to be fancy, and then someone's got really cold eggs, someone's got overcooked eggs, someone's got really hot eggs. And so if you actually undercook them all, get them in an ice bath, and then right at the end just pop all of them into some warm water, it will actually just reheat the eggs. So everyone gets warm eggs at the same time, which is really cool.
There's a tip, guys, for poached eggs. And I like mine sort of like not the perfect round, sort of like organic, sort of all over the place. Yeah. Like that. That's kind of.
Yeah. And I think quite often when you get the round ones, it's because whoever's cooked them has sprayed some cling film, cracked the egg into that and tied a knot and then cooked it that way.
Hello, makers.
And I prefer to, you know, have it more organic looking like you do.
Your final, I guess, challenge on the show when you got eliminated was a cauliflower soup with scallops, which sounds, I mean, I haven't tried cauliflower. I hate scallops. But I haven't tried cauliflower soup. But the judges said it was too easy.
Yeah.
I was going, what?
Look, I was surprised. I didn't think I was going to go out on that dish because I really liked it. I was really happy with it. It's a soup that I've done for family before. And, you know, Kate, she hates cauliflower, but she loves my cauliflower soup. So the first time I was like, I made cauliflower soup, she gave me the biggest death stare, like if looks could kill. And I just went, no, just try the soup. And she tried it and was like, oh my goodness, I love cauliflower soup. So yeah, I was surprised that I ended up going out on that dish. But, you know, I guess I could have added maybe like a bacon salt to it or a cumin oil, and that would have shown a little bit more technique. But I really, really liked that dish that I left on. So yeah, no regrets.
Now, did the judges give you any advice after the show, and do you still keep in contact with the judges?
I still keep in contact with Gary and Matt, especially via Twitter and social media. They're really supportive. You know, they're, especially Matt's the type of guy that if you have an opening and you invite him to it, then he will do whatever he can to go to your event. He's very supportive of the contestants. And I've been to a couple of George's restaurants while I've been down in Melbourne, and he's, you know, popped in a couple of times. And, you know, the advice that the judges give is just to keep on pushing, just keep working and keep following your passion and your dreams. And that you'll end up achieving what it is that you want.
Because the good thing about the show, about MasterChef, is even though there's so many contestants,
yeah,
you're all doing different things.
Yes.
Whether, I mean, not everyone's releasing a cookbook. You've got your own cafes, restaurants, you're working in different restaurants.
Yep.
You're releasing maybe your own gourmet range independently or through, you know, a major chain. Everyone's on a different page and wants to do different things, which is great.
Yeah.
You know, I think Hayden does a lot of stuff online, like apps and stuff. And
yeah, you know, and you've got Queenie's Food Tours that Andrew's doing, which is amazing. And that's something that no other contestant, as far as I know, is doing. So that's fantastic. And, you know, lots of contestants have got either cafes or restaurants. And but yeah, everyone is super supportive of each other. You know, I can not only send someone from my season an email, but, you know, I can send Julia from last season an email and she gets back to me with, you know, advice. Or, you know, I've been talking to, you know, Julie Goodwin, for example, and just saying to her, you know, oh, what do I do and how do I, you know, crack the market here? And everyone is just really helpful. It really is
a big
like
family.
A family. Yeah.
Yeah, that's nice. Any advice for people wanting to enter the show this year? Or next year, I should say.
Just do it. Really, just do it. Go and but be open. It definitely takes over your life. And when they tell you in the audition process that it's like joining the army, it's really like joining the army. You know, as they were saying, I just sat there with a huge smile on my face going, I'm going to be on MasterChef was all I was thinking. But, you know, they definitely tell you when to eat, when to sleep, when to, you know, like when you're filming, you can't exactly just go to the toilet whenever you want, for example. And so there are lots of things that you do have to, you know, just let go and just let them kind of rule your life for as long as you're there. But it's the best experience that you'll ever have.
Any behind the scenes goss from this year's season? Anything, any like hookups or any like juicy, scandalous gossip?
No, there unfortunately wasn't any hookups. I was really hoping for that because I really wanted to sell the story to like Woman's Day or something and make some cash. But unfortunately, everyone was on their best behavior and
Just too tired.
Yeah, and just too tired. And I think as well for a lot of the girls, they were just like, when you live with these boys and there's, you know, 11 of them and they smell and it's just a house full of testosterone and a lot of chest beating and all that sort of stuff, no one wants to go there. Everyone's like, yeah,
because you all live in a house, don't you, in Sydney?
Yeah,
it's a big, is that like a big mansion?
Yeah, so we all live in a house in Melbourne.
Melbourne.
And it's huge, and there was a lift in the house, which was just ridiculous. but it was really funny. The night that we moved into the house, a couple of the girls, so it was Samira, Liliana, and Dan went in the lift and they got stuck in there, which we thought was hilarious. For about half an hour, they couldn't get out of the lift. And I was like, serves you right for not using the stairs.
Exactly right.
But, you know, there's a minimum of like three people in a bedroom. You know, the room that I was in, there were five other women in there. It was, I've never shared a room in my adult life with another person unless I was sleeping with them. So it was just really weird.
So what do you do, I guess, when you're at the house? Do you, because you can't watch TV, can you? You can't.
We can watch TV.
Media,
we can watch TV, but we can't watch like Channel 10, 11 or 1, so any of the Channel 10 shows. So basically there was a lot of watching cooking shows was on, so because we had access to like Foxtel, so the cooking channel was always on. And then there were people in the kitchen cooking or people reading cookbooks. It was all about food. But yeah, there's no social media, there's no internet, we get our phones taken from us, so there really is no communication with the outside world, which is really strange. But at the same time, it's great because then you can just focus on food and learning from each other
as well, because we spend so much time doing emails and on social media, and to have that taken away, it's like, oh, I don't need to worry about that. It's great.
Yeah. Like at first it was a little tough. I was like, like do a Facebook update or something. Like, you know, because I'm so attached to my social media and my phone. Yeah. And my phone is often, I think like a lot of people, my phone is my security blanket when I'm out and I'm, you know, feeling uncomfortable or awkward. My phone comes out and I tend to zone in on that. And so I definitely had to interact with other human beings, which was interesting.
We also mentioned that you support a few charities as well.
Yes.
Of course, Barnardo's Australia,
yep.
Autism Australia, which is for your son, Damien.
Yes.
Oz Harvest and Australian Marriage Equality.
Yes.
Now, do you ever think Australia would have same-sex marriage?
Yes, I do. I do, undoubtedly. I believe that we would. We can't not have it. We can't be that country.
I mean, New Zealand's got it already.
Yeah, New Zealand has it.
We're lagging behind.
We really are, you know, and so many countries are getting it, and it's ridiculous and disgraceful that we don't have it yet. So I think that we will definitely have it. There's an overwhelming support from the Australian public, regardless of what their sexual orientation is. So yeah, we're going to have marriage equality. And when we do, I'll get married and...
With Kate?
Yeah, with Kate. I'll get married to Kate. And it'll be great. And, you know, hopefully it's not overturned in the ACT and we can go there. Rishi's already offered to cater my wedding. So, you know, it'd be great to go down and get married to the woman I love, because I don't see why I shouldn't be able to.
A lot of, I guess, past contestants either release cooking books or they do like online books even as well. Yep. If you had a chance to release your own book or online content, what would be in your cooking book?
I think it would have a lot to do with entertaining people. You know, I think, oh, hello birdies. they're offering their opinions on what my book should be. It would definitely have a lot to do with entertaining people and just celebrating food, obviously. But giving people tips and tricks on, you know, having a dinner party for two compared to having people, you know, having 12 people over, very different food that you'd be serving. So I think that's what my cookbook would definitely be about.
Obviously, since the show, obviously when you left, you could watch the show back and with everybody else. Did the right person win this year, do you think?
Yeah, I think the right person won. You know, it's hard because... You know, unfortunately for Emma, she didn't get to go into a lot of elimination rounds. And so she didn't get to show her style of cooking. And I think the Australian public therefore didn't get to warm up to her or didn't get to see her talent and her style of cooking. And I think unfortunately for her, she's copped a lot of flack. But it's basically because she was on all the winning teams. And I think that says... a lot, you know, obviously she was, good team player. Hi, this is Christina Batista from MasterChef. Merry Christmas, everyone, and have a safe and happy new year.
Now, it's not long till Christmas.
Yes.
And it's just a few weeks away, in fact. It's freaking out. So what are your tips for, I guess, a perfect Christmas lunch or dinner or canapes or... With a Christina twist, obviously.
Yeah. I say organization and prepare, you know, do stuff on Christmas Eve and also on Christmas Eve. Yes, I do call it Christmas Eve. But, you know, that's what I do. Like I'm often cooking things a week beforehand. So stuff that you would have your canapes on, like toasted bread, you can do that, keep it in an airtight container for a week and it's still going to be fine on Christmas Day. And so then you're not having to toast bread while you're, you know, doing other stuff. And I also do like to often buy pre-prepared little things to, and then, you know, you can add to it. So for example, with a dip, if you wanted to have hummus, but you didn't want to make it yourself, you know, you can already have the pre-made one. And then, you know, you just add some really nice olive oil over the top and a little bit of sumac. And so it ends up adding. And you put it into a bowl and people go, oh, hello, that's all fancy.
No one knows the difference.
No one knows the difference. Yeah. But you know, a lot of stuff you can make beforehand and freeze and that sort of thing. And then you just take it out and defrost it. But I absolutely love Christmas. It's my favourite day of the year. So I spend all of Christmas Day in the kitchen, but that's what I love. I love that I'm in the kitchen all day. So.
My family live in Auckland in New Zealand, actually. So yep. I'll be going back this year. And
nice.
Like every Kiwi Christmas, there's so much food.
Yes.
So much food. There's turkey, there's ham, there's chicken, there's lamb, there's... It's enough food to sink a battleship, honestly. But it's all part
it's
of the
like Noah's Ark.
Yeah, you don't eat for days when you're so full.
Yeah.
What's your perfect, I guess, pudding or just a dessert for Christmas? What do you like doing for your kids?
My partner Kate makes a really mean cheesecake. And it's a set one. It's not a baked cheesecake. And it's, you know, with some Philadelphia cheese and some also some thickened cream and some gelatin through it. And it's, you know, we often play around with the base a little bit. So, you know, last year we had, it was like a Tim Tam base. And then there was some pomegranate liqueur folded through the cheesecake and some fresh berries over the top. And something light like that I like to finish, you know, Christmas lunch off with, because, you know, like your family, we have the ham and we have the turkey and the seafood, and, you know, I over cater on Christmas Day. And so it's nice to have something nice and light to finish your meal off with.
Finally, MasterChef ended in September. Obviously, we're now in December.
Yes.
So I guess what's in the future pipeline for you? What's coming up?
So I've just started doing a stage with Peter Gilmore at Key.
What is a stage, by the way? What's
so it's spelled S-T-A-G-E, so like stage, and that's how I was
stage,
pronouncing it.
As
but
in
it's stage. Yeah, or France rather than France. So I've started that, and that's basically an internship that I'm doing there, which is fantastic and learning lots. And last week I was there and I got to do the snow egg and just eat dessert until the cows came home, which was amazing. I've also got some catering gigs coming up and, you know, cooking demos, lots of little things around the corner. And I'm also, as you know, working on my website and lots of recipes. And I'm going to start writing for Home Heaven, which is a new website, and I'm going to be their food expert, which
I find really
strange. But
you mentioned the website before. Give that a plug.
Yeah. So it's christinabattista.com.au. Nice and easy for everyone to remember.
And you're also on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram with
yes.
some great pictures as well.
Yep.
Thank you so much for joining me this morning.
No, thank you for having me.
No worries at all. And good luck for the future. And if you're in Melbourne again, make sure you come in and see us, all right?
I definitely will. Thank you very much. Hi, this is Christina Battista from MasterChef. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member. Call 1300-JOY-949 or sign up via joy.org.au.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.